Hello.
Bonjour.
Hello.
Welcome back to another episode of The Juice. I'm your host, Solomon Giorgio, comedian, writer, and owner of the largest collection of chia pets. Today's guest is a man of many faces and can show you the deepest cholo squat you've ever seen. Let's give a big juicy welcome to Frankie Quiñones. Hi, Frankie. How's it going?
What's up, Solomon?
First of all, this fool is probably the best show that's out right now.
Period. Oh, like, man.
Thank you. And Chris, you as a thug is always going to be worth watching to me. Oh, the friendliest guy I know?
I know. I was going to say, the folks that really came with me, especially the comedians, are like, oh, man, that dude's all positive vibes. I'm like, you know, back there off screen, acting like a tough guy.
But damn, you're probably one of the first guests outside of Marcella where I'm like, our journey started at our poorest.
Oh, yeah. We were broke as hell hanging out, man. Yeah, yeah.
I definitely met you before we worked at the restaurant together.
Yeah.
Listeners, I used to work at a restaurant in Los Angeles, and me and Frankie were both employees. I was a server. Frankie, you were a busser, which is that was even worse.
Solomon would be yelling at me like, why don't you bust table number 12 already? Like, damn, Solomon, my bad, homie.
I never yelled at you. Yeah. I yelled at many other bussers.
I was a grinder for sure.
Oh,
man.
Fuck. It was. There were a few moments there at that place. I remember there was one server that got arrested during a shift.
Yeah.
I was there for like 4 years. That was a fucking time.
We both lucked out on the fact that the chef, who everybody thought was crazy, actually liked both of us, I felt like. And he didn't like many people.
Well, first of all, he was a lunatic. I'm not going to say his name. But he was I remember one time walking into the kitchen and he's just yelling at everybody. And he was like yelling for so long that he looked like he was having a stroke and he was like keeled over on the floor, like holding his chest, being that mad. I'm like, damn. Sir.
Sir, are you okay?
Yeah. It's like you're getting upset about a chopped salad. What's going on over here? Oh my god. Oh, let's get to the history of Frankie. That's like we met in LA, but you grew up in LA and then you went to up north and
I was born in LA, but I was still little. We moved an hour north Ventura County, but then I spent 15 years in San Francisco. That's where I started comedy.
Yeah.
But I mostly grew up in a Ventura County, so like Oxnard, Camarillo, Ventura, those places. But most of my family in LA. I was born in San Fernando. We lived in a one bed apartment in Chatsworth. I got family out through the valley. But then mostly grew up there. But then I was still, I think I was not even 20 yet when I moved to San Francisco, and then I started comedy up there when I was 25. Mm-hmm. And we met around that time. I think shortly after that, but. Because I think you were still living in Seattle when I met you or something.
Yeah, because it was 2007 that you started?
Yeah, like 2005 I started dabbling in, but then like 2007 is when I was like, okay, I'm going to do this,
Yeah, I think so. I think we had like relatively the same start year. And I would pop down to San Francisco whenever I got the chance to when I first started. But did you go to college in the Bay?
Yeah, I went to San Francisco State,
Yeah, you went to college and then went right to stand-up. That's truly...
It was mostly for my parents, man, because nobody either side of my family. And I got a big-ass family. Yeah. Nobody went to college. So they were like, mijo, so important to them. Like, please, please. And then it took me, 6 years, but I had a state school. Yeah. But I did it, homie. Yeah.
Look, nothing's more fun than being like the first in a family to do something in education-wise and being like, you know what? I'm going to be an artist now. My mom was so mad.
It was funny. My mom and dad were pretty supportive because that's how I got into stand-up. They would watch stand-up and comedy.
Oh, that's good.
Like old school funk and comedy was like their religion, you know? So, So I'm like, hey, it's your fault that I'm, that I'm doing this.
Damn. So I don't know Ventura County that well at all. Like, what's the vibe out there?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, where I grew up, man, it was like, it's very, there's like strawberry fields was like our main thing. So like, it was a lot of agriculture. That's how our family ended up there. Like like, you know, my grandfather came with his family from Zacatecas, Mexico, and they came to Pacoima and to Oxnard because the agriculture, you know, obviously, even my mom, you know, she used to pick strawberries out there in Oxnard. And, it's a, you know, it's just an hour north. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, it's a pretty diverse, you know, it's like little, definitely, you know, there's some uppity neighborhoods there, kind of, you know, white people, it's just pretty similar out here. And then there's a lot of Mexicans, you know, wherever there's agriculture, there's a group of Mexicans, that's for sure. Yeah, that's we're out there representing.
Because we were up in Fresno and we didn't have, I would wish it was strawberries because we had raisins and that's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, there you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The amount of times I had to go to a raisin farm and be like, this is where I, like, as a field trip, I was so annoying. Like, I got in trouble because I called it a vineyard and the guy giving us like a tour was like, it's actually a raisin farm. I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure. I apologize for being too bougie for the raisin farm. I didn't know.
Don't you ever call a raisin farm a vineyard.
What did you just say, young man? No, this is a raisin farm. We don't. Yeah, it was like because the son made raisin factories. It was mostly Latino, a lot of black people, and the city was separated by the drugs that were there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like the white people were where the meth was, the black people were where all the crack was, and it was like, oh, this is great.
The Mexicans are just picking the raisins.
Oh yeah, it was because it also like there was also like the migrant, like I had friends who like were seasonal because they wouldn't always be there. Like they'd be like they have to move with whatever agriculture they had to. Their parents were like day workers, so it was like once the crops are done, they're gonna be back in like 3 months or 6 months.
Man, crazy man! Remember the California raisins? They really had their day, man.
I had every sticker on my bed frame.
Yeah, dude. I think I had California raisins like a bed comforter or something. I think back in the day. Yeah.
So I was like, so what was school like in that area? Was it this?
It was cool, man. You know, it was just it was pretty diverse and yeah, it was fun. You know, I was always a little homie, so I would get picked on a lot and stuff like that. Just because I was little, you know, but then I would just start making fools laugh. So then they would kind of just leave me alone. And it was cool. I had a lot of cousins too. So
yeah, you have a big ass family.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were always kind of there to protect me. And they also beat the shit out of me too, though. But, you know,
That's right.
It was that tough love. Yeah.
That sounds like my family. Understand that emotion. Like, thank you guys for protecting me and then kicking my ass 5 minutes later.
Hey, if anybody's going to kick his ass, it's going to be me. Back up.
That was like, you don't get to make fun of my brother. I get to do that. And you're like, no, that's not how that works. Oh, man. But like, so gossip culture wise, like, was it a nice rumor mill that you grew up with?
Oh man, I mean, there was always like my grandma, rest in peace. You know, on my dad's side, yeah, she'd sit there all day and just, you know, talk gossip, and you know, it's entertaining. I love it for her. My mom, even though she won't admit it, she loves gossip too. Hey, mijo, did you hear? You know that? You know what's her name around the corner? That yeah, she you know whatever like. It'll be the dumbest thing sometimes too. Like, yeah, she wrecked her car and it was a hit and run. I guess she left it right there at the Ralph's parking lot. And I'm like, I don't really care, you know?
Is it cheese mate? Is that the word?
Yeah, cheese mate is the word for gossip. Yeah, see, hey, it's Solomon, you know what's up, homie?
I learned some things here and there. Look, cheese mate and chancla, I'll always remember for the rest of my life.
But I do feel bad. There was one rumor that I kind of started because my cousin, it was like in high school, you know, you got the gym, you got the showers, the locker rooms, things get grimy. Mm-hmm. And one of my cousins who I went to school with, he had pretty much athlete's foot, but, which is like a normal thing. But then it turned into this rumor that he had a toe fungus and all this shit. So nobody... And it was so messed up because like everybody was like, you know, like, you know, you like they didn't want to take a shower if you went in there. They're like, you better wear water socks or some shit or like, you know, like like, hey, man, he better not be letting them in there. He better not let their cousin in there with his toe fungus and da da da. And I felt so bad. And I'm the one that started the rumor, and I felt so bad, man. I've since apologized to him so many times, but yeah, yeah. It was like, dude, he had to wear water socks in there because everybody thought he had toe fungus.
Damn, that is. I've never done, I never apologized for any of the shit that I've said. So I respect you for doing that. You're always, you're very good natured that way. Because if I would be like, he still got toe fungus. He cried? Yeah, it's gotten worse. Yeah, he doesn't have any more toes. I don't know if you know that.
It ate his big toe. He can't even walk straight no more. Over here.
Did you ever get a rumor like started on you when you were younger?
No, not that I could remember. I mean, I can't think of anything. Yeah, maybe it was like, you know, oh, you hooked up with that girl in the, or we had a lot of, the strawberry fields and the orchards were a place you would go to like hook up. And I remember one time there was a rumor like, oh, Frankie hooked up with so-and-so in the orchards. And it was just like, it was this chola, you know, like this homegirl. And it actually wasn't a rumor. I lost my virginity in the avocado orchard. Yeah. But
it wasn't the strawberry one.
The avocado trees give you coverage, you know, you can't, you know, the strawberries are on the ground, man. But yeah.
That's a great place to lose your virginity.
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously nobody ever forget their first time, but yeah, we're in an avocado orchard. And I remember I was like, she's like, I'm down. She's like, I'm down, you know, like you want to get down or what? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Not really. I was like, hey, just let me put it in once, you know? And she goes, if you put it in, you're not going to want to take it out, you know? So I was like, oh, man. She was right. That's all it took. I put it in like twice. And then I busted all quick. I was super embarrassed. You know, I was like, oh gosh. You know, she's like, don't worry. It gets better. You know, and then she just.
She knows what's up.
Yeah. Then we picked some avocados and continued our lives. You know, it's all good.
Damn. That's perfect. That's a beautiful story. How old were you?
I think I was 17. Yeah.
Damn. 17, good age. I was 19. And I lost my virginity in the back of a Ford F-150 parked behind a Texaco. To a 55-year-old.
Well, Ford F-150, that's a good truck. Man.
It's a big truck. Lost it to a 55-year-old Native American drag queen named Larry. And I'm like just a couple blocks away from my parents' house.
How'd it go? Was it cool? Or
it lasted all of 15 seconds. I finished real quick and I was like, you know what? Good luck on your adventures in the world, sir. And I went right back.
Thank you, Larry. Have a good life.
Thank you, Larry. Have a great life. hope your journeys go well from here on out.
He's probably hurting in that F-150 with these gas prices, though. But, you know, hopefully do it. Yeah.
Well, at that time, I was 19, so that was back when gas was like 89 cents a gallon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. So, yeah, Larry was smashing all around town.
He's like, I'm fine. I can go somewhere else. I can fill this car up for 10 bucks. I can fuck all day. I remember I'd get like gas was like 89 cents a gallon. And I would also get like cigarettes for like $1.99 a pack at the time. And I was
My gosh. Yeah. I'll never forget that, man. Yeah. Summer 1998. Gas was 99 cents a gallon. Oh. I remember that.
Ooh. Damn. Like what was like the hangout culture? Like did you guys like in high school, did you guys do like the mall stuff or like hang out in diners or?
Yeah, we did the malls a lot. Or we would go down to Venice Beach, you know?
Oh, fuck.
Cause you know when you're not of age to drink or anything, like Venice Beach was always a cool place to. It was just fun, you know. Just go down there and just kick it all day, and then, we would just sit there, people watch, you know. With the little, you know, sometimes we pack a lunch or you know save up some money and then get something to eat there. Then it would just be fun because you could go in the water, you could go chill, you could go watch a just people watch, go watch the skateboarders, whatever. Yeah, those, that was always a good time. But then obviously the mall was always a good thing. The mall arcade. I used to work in this ghetto ass mall called the Esplanade. They've since tore it down. It was this, I used to get I used to always get like picked on and stuff in there, but saw a lot of fights. So it was entertaining. It was so funny too, because you're like at the mall, you know what I mean? And, like, and then folks would be throwing gang signs from across the mall like to each other, you know?
You're in front of Gap Kids. What are you doing?
Yeah, bro. Come on, bro. Yeah, trying to gangbang in front of Kenny Shoes and shit, drinking a Slurpee and shit. Come on, my boy. Yeah. But there was a spot there where you could get like shirts airbrushed, you know. So there'd be a lot of, like couples go in there, like, hey, like, you know, Maria and Ricky por vida, like airbrushed on their thing, and you know.
Oh, that's perfect.
It was one of those kind of malls. Yeah.
Oh, that's I miss that, because we had it was called Fulton Mall in Fresno, and I was like, yeah, like I remember like the year Selena died and the amount of airbrush shirts that I saw around me, and
they were hot back in the day, man. Yeah.
Oh, it was just that's the kind of life I wish I had. I wish my parents had the money to afford airbrush shirts when we were younger. That extra $10 that my parents didn't have, I was like, oh man, I wouldn't even know what to do. That was a good time. Like the swap meet was also where I was like the happiest too. Cause that's,
oh man, I love it, dude. I used to go, my dad used to sell plants at the swap meet. And the only thing I hated though, is he would wake me up at like 4 a.m, you know, cause you got to get in line to get the good spot.
Yeah.
And, but once you were there and the sun came out, we were set up, I would get to walk around, and man, the swap meet was fun. You know, there's everything there, but spark plugs, Dickies, like DVDs, yes. DVDs, yes. Like what you need, homie. Yeah.
I feel like I was like high on sugar that entire day and just like touching, like grabbing stuff. And I remember the one time my mom got me this Ice Cube t-shirt. I was so proud of it, but it was cheap. And like the bottom half, like the printer, like fucked up. So it was like a really long face. So it's like ice cube, then like ice cube melting.
It's like, oh man, melting ice cube.
Look, the 90s was an era to thrive in, and I feel like that's like a lot of shit talking. Remember when I got to school and people, the way they would clown you was showing up with off-brand sneakers to my.
Oh yeah, man. Oof. Like, I remember I would work so hard. Like I wanted some Reebok pumps so bad. Uh-huh. And I was just doing anything, like, you know, mowing lawns or picking weeds, all this stuff. And my mom and dad were cool. Like they struggled, but if I worked for something, they would make it happen for me. You know what I mean? And the kids that had the bootleg kicks, I'd be like, oh man, please. One time I had a pair, and it's just like, you don't forget it, man. You know what I mean? They fall apart all easy too. Like, you know, you try to play one game of basketball, and like all of a sudden your pinky toe's hanging out the side of your sneaker. You know, you're like, gosh damn it, man. These Mikeys ain't doing all that good.
Oh no. Like even if you wore Nikes and Adidas together, they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like, come on, bro.
Brand names. Give me a break. Yeah. Like, nah, dog, they can't be together.
Right. You're wearing the Adidas warm-up pants with the Nike shoes. It's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah. Nah.
You're confusing me, homie.
Like, finish the look.
Yeah.
Finish the... Look, now I coordinate everything. I would not leave my house with Nikes near Adidas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, you got so much style now, and now you got money, so yeah, it's over, homie. Yeah.
But that's through years of bullying. But yeah, so we're going to move on to actually the next segment here, which is the mailbag.
It is mailbag time.
So I'm going to read some of these letters to you.
All right, let's do it.
So there's the three ratings. It's either dry, meaning boring, moist, which is like so-so, and like fully juiced, which is like, this is great gossip.
Okay. Dry, moist, fully juiced. Okay.
Fully juiced. And afterwards, I'm going to ask you what your rating is and why. So here's the first one. And it fits really well into it because we were just literally talking about high school and school. When I was in high school, one of the popular girls contracted chlamydia. Since chlamydia is commonly called the clap, everyone would clap when she entered the room.
Oh man, oh gosh, I hope that girl's okay. I hope she got a good therapist over here.
Oh man, that is
oh my god, yeah. Oh, I just picture her at a concert, like when the concert ends, she has to leave early before the clapping starts. Yeah. She can't even, she's missed every encore ever, you know what I'm saying?
She's like, I gotta go. I can't be here for this noise.
Yeah, you know how parking is. I gotta go, girl, you know.
Like, oh no, it's like, go to a comedy, she's like, is this a good comedian? No, I gotta leave. I can't. I only can watch bad comedy. This one, the rating is tough because it's, I love high school kids are truly, oh, it was a popular girl? This is even better. I love that even more. When it's a popular person, it's...
So she obviously survived this. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're still popular after that, you're good. So this is like this.
Yeah. And it's chlamydia. It's curable. So she's probably, you know.
Look, as somebody who's had it several times, I can tell you it is just one shot to the butt and you're good to go. And look, let's be honest, I might get it again. Let's not worry about that. But this is...
Oh, man. Now next time I see you, Solomon, I'm going to be... Hey.
Look, I deserve that applause. I'll be proud of it. Oh, is that for me? Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, now you're successful, so those claps could be coming for a lot of different reasons.
And I was like, hold up, guys. Please make sure it's for chlamydia. I want you to acknowledge that first.
Yeah. Like, wait, that's for chlamydia, right? Yeah.
This is fully juiced to me. Well, this is actually in the middle between a moist and a fully juiced for me because it's like, it's not too much of a rumor. But it's a fantastic piece of information.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm definitely at least moist for me. Yes.
Oh, that is solid. That is...
Because, I mean, the visual on that, just her walking to a room and all the whole classroom clapping, like...
And the teacher being like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Oh, man. She probably never even got chlamydia. Just rumors, probably. That's what.
Yeah, how would anyone else know you got chlamydia?
I know, right? That's what I'm saying. Come on.
Nobody just tells people they have, and I'm like, I literally just did that, so maybe.
Yeah. But in high school, I didn't think anybody got STDs till after high school, but maybe I'm living in the past too much. Yeah.
I think you're living in the past too much. I think everybody got STDs all the time. Yeah. Just because you got laid once in an avocado orchard.
It was after I graduated too, so I survived. Yeah. I'm over there making some guacamole right
out of the STDs from avocados? What's wrong with you? All right, I got another letter. I was working a busy-ass Saturday shift at Blockbuster. A woman kept calling and ominously insisting that she needed to clean our bathroom. My awkward, sedentary male superiors elected me to handle the shitstorm, and praise be, I didn't see any visible substance coating that small space. On what must have been her fifth call, the woman admitted to me that she masturbated in our bathroom and absolutely must come in to clean it. I insisted it wasn't necessary or allowed. The lady showed up in tears, demanding to speak with me, so I broke protocol and handed her ass a mop. We didn't even have real porn, so what was that about?
Wait, what? What? This is crazy. Yeah.
I don't even... So, like, she felt...
Yeah,
guilty for jerking off.
Wait, so she was...
So the lady masturbated in the bathroom, left, felt guilty about it, and was like, I need to come back there and clean your bathroom. And this girl, whoever's working there was like, went to the bathroom, was like, there's nothing here to clean. You're good. Don't worry about it. And then she's like, she kept, and then finally, she came in. Yeah.
Like, you're not seeing it. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
She definitely busted all over the bathroom.
Also, yeah. What kind of messy ass masturbation situation do you have going on?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Where you felt that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that was unnoticeable.
Yeah.
Man, this is like a mystery game right here. Like,
well, no, there is no mystery because the crime happened and she came back and admitted to it. Like, why did you do that? I've masturbated in so many bathrooms when I was younger and I never came back to clean up.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, damn. I mean, well, good. I mean, that's good on her for wanting to come back and clean it up. But
no, that's weird. You gotta let that kind of stuff go.
Maybe she was Mormon or something. You know, I don't know. Like, she's just like, oh gosh, I'm gonna get struck by lightning if I don't go back and admit that I just rubbed one out in the Blockbuster video bathroom.
Also, yeah, what happened at Blockbuster that, you know, what was like, got you all hot and bothered.
Yeah, what VHS cover were you looking at? That
was like, was it Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze? That got you? Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. I gotta run to the bathroom right now.
Yeah.
And finger blast one out real quick.
The Master Splinter just always gets me off like this. Oh man.
Like, that's confusing. Like, also, what is, like, yeah, it's like, it is.
Yeah, I just have a lot of questions. Like, what, like, got you, like, what was the urgency that you're like, you know what, this needs to happen right here at Blockbuster Video?
Yeah. How much stuff came out of you that you think you need to come back to clean it up? Like, I can't imagine that she was just hosing the bathroom down after she came.
Yeah, like, she must have been a squirter, that's for sure. You know what I mean?
But, so, like, it's like, still, like, even then, like, you're not covering much ground. You can still clean it up pretty easily.
Yeah, and I feel like squirters, like, that liquid evaporates fairly quickly. Not that I'm an expert on it.
Not that I make it happen every single damn time I have sex. I'm not saying that I'm a professional person at making squirting happen, Solomon, but...
but yeah, I mean, if anything, good, man, good on her. She sounds like she's not a terrible person. I'll say that. If she came back, he's like, you know what? I got to clean this.
You're too kind. I think she's a crazy-ass person. This is a crazy thing to do. Like, call 5 times and then show up in tears being like, I'm sorry, I masturbated.
I'm telling you, man, she must have been Mormon or super Catholic or something. She went and prayed about it. Was like, you know what? I'm like, something bad's going to happen if I don't do this.
Yeah. Please let me wipe down the pussy juice out of your bathroom. Because I cannot go on another day.
The place, like, there's nothing in there. Like, no, girl, there's something in there. Don't worry.
Something in there.
If you would have walked in 2 steps further, you would have slipped and fell for sure.
Look, it's still a much better mess than what I've seen in a lot of men's bathrooms. So this is, oh my God. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give this a fully juiced. This is a perfect story. It is wild. I don't know how anyone would do this to themselves, but you know what? Hopefully she has learned to masturbate in the bathroom and not worry about it.
she did a tour of all the Blockbuster videos before they went. She was, they're going out of business. I better go hit all these movies.
I think there's like one Blockbuster left and she's probably like, I'm going to move to that town.
That was super juicy. I mean,
yeah, it was like that. She was fully juiced. The bathroom was fully juiced.
Fully juiced, for sure. Yeah,
like that is.
I mean, where she had a call 5 times. There's so much juice. It's crazy.
I've never
phone calls and guilt and all kind of shit. Yeah.
Look, Frankie, one day I'm gonna feel guilt and I'm gonna understand it.
I'll be there for you, homie.
Look, I'll fall apart if I ever feel it, because there's... And that's the mailbag. Thanks so much for everyone for sending in your mail. Reading your submissions really is the best part of my week. Okay, Frankie, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with the juice line. Welcome back to The Juice. I'm here with Frankie Quinones. All right, Frankie, now's the time in the show when we go to the phone. We call it The Juice Line. And I'm hearing from our board operator that today's caller is Marie. Let's patch her in.
Please hold.
Hi, Marie. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm Solomon. I'm actually here with Frankie Quinones.
Hi.
And clearly you have some amazing gossip. And you know, honestly, that's what the show's all about. And I want to hear all about it.
Okay. So I grew up in a very kind of wacky small town. So I had a couple stories.
Oh, yay.
But it was like outside of a big city, a lot of people who didn't necessarily grow up wealthy, but came into money. So we called it pizza and real estate money. and so the first story was that we had a nonprofit that ran our youth football and cheerleading like organization. And this was a place where football, for some reason, was very, very important to everyone.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, exactly.
I have one point of reference.
It's not the South at all. I don't know anything at all about football. I just know that they made us watch a lot of football games. but there was the youth football nonprofit was run by these three guys who were like, they'd run it for a decade. They hadn't had kids in the program for a long time. And they just said they did it for the love of the football. But then after a while, parents got kind of concerned because there was never new equipment and they paid some of the highest fees. So they started asking, like, where's the money going? And it turned into this whole can of worms that got opened up about the money situation. The president of the nonprofit, his accounting business did all the record keeping. And so the like accounting records were a little weird and suspicious. And there were things like they'd spent $100,000 over like a football season on youth football. These are like little kids, football gear that the parents didn't see the gear. They also, part of the thing they did was they would run a concession stand at high school athletics games, which was entirely cash based. So there was a lot of money.
Damn, they embezzling.
So people were like whispering and no one really knew what was going on. And this was when I was in late high school transitioning to college. And my mom had been kind of involved with the town athletics. She was on the soccer board, but that was a long time ago. But she knew these guys and she was like, I don't know about them. They're up to no good. But people get upset. Like people are asking about it. They say that they're going to vote in a new board. To like represent the nonprofit, and the parents all go and they have this big vote and they vote out the leadership. But then the leadership said that that vote wasn't valid and that they had to have another vote. And at the second vote, they posted a list outside like the meeting room of everyone who was allowed to go in and vote. And they called the cops and had everyone else escorted off the premises.
Damn.
Oh my God.
And no one knew about it. So people were upset.
Yeah.
But one of the funny things about it was people were doing this entirely anonymously and they were afraid to comment publicly for two reasons. One, the president of the board was an elected official in the town. And
wow.
And the other reason that they cite all the time is that they were afraid that their kids were going to lose playing time in youth football.
Wow.
As like after school sports, what if my kid gets taken off the field because I spoke out about my concerns for the organization? So eventually the president was voted out, but the treasury guy took over and like legal people got involved and it's literally been 5 or 6 years and nothing ever happened. There's just been that, like, remember that time there was that weird football scandal and the guy's still in town and we're all just acting like that wasn't ever a thing that happened.
I love white collar crime.
Me too.
That's some like, it's very like, That is a well-crafted scam. And that guy's probably going to get away with it for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Does he still hold office? Some kind of office?
He does not hold office anymore, but like, he's still a guy around town. They all are. My mom coached one of his kids in track.
Crazy.
Yeah. Damn. Wow. And
so he's got a garage full of football pads somewhere. Just
I
to
think
look.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's he probably has a wing of his house called football equipment.
Oh, man. Oh, man, he just hustled those poor kids, man. Yeah.
It was funny, too, because it's like a wealthy town. And so people were like, why are our kids using this weird old equipment? We paid a lot of money for this football program. And like other towns were getting better concussion proof stuff. And the parents in our wild. Town were like, what's happening?
Yeah, why are our kids wearing outfits from the 1920s? Yeah.
They got cotton balls and duct tape inside their helmets. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You said you had another story?
Yeah. So this was another one. Same town, same context.
I hope so.
So this was, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. I don't want to ignite controversy, but there are some people who don't like that there's sometimes fluoride in public water supplies. And my town had fluoride in the public water supply. And so there was a group of like local moms who decided that they didn't like that. And my town ran on a town meeting system. So there were sometimes people would just go to a big meeting hall and take a vote. And if you had enough people and enough people voted, the legislation would pass. But they didn't want to do that because they thought it would be controversial. So they figured out that for some reason, the town had a separate water board that did all the water board stuff. And so they could put forward this resolution in front of the water board and get it passed and no one would ever know. And so that's literally what happened is they put forward this, we don't want fluoride in the water, got it passed because they were the only ones who showed up to the vote, this like contingent of moms. And the water board like never told anyone about it. They didn't talk to the health department. They didn't put it forward to the general town. So it was just like this secret thing that happened. And it only got found out because they were gossiping to other moms. And they were bragging about it. And one of the moms who like heard the gossip was a dentist and went, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Went crazy. And my mom knew her too. My mom was so plugged into all this. And my mom was like, yeah, that lady's insane. I can't believe that they unleashed her. And she got super pissed off and basically like erupted this whole firestorm about why is the water board having separate public meetings that no one knows about. And they eventually like had a new public meeting and voted it out basically. But there was a lot of like, this stuff just happened all the time. There was always these scandals. And like, did you hear what they did at the water board meeting the other night?
This town is, I love how it functions because it works on secrets.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like, damn, we should go run for office over there.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we could make millions of dollars in public office in this small town.
There was just always something going on, always something new.
All right. Well, we'll figure out where this town is. When I find out, Frankie, we have a great campaign.
We'll go do a charity fundraiser show there.
just a charity fundraiser. We're just here we're gonna give kids helmets is what we're gonna do. That is. Oh my God. That is. Marie, that is amazing. Damn, the fluoride thing, that's healthy.
Yeah, that is crazy. Like, we'll just create a water board for this and only three people are going to be there and be like, okay, we got it passed and then that's it.
Sneaky.
But I love it how it was the mom's gossiping that got it blown up.
That's
girl,
my favorite
you know what
part.
We did?
Yeah. Ooh, girl,
I know your man's a dentist, but guess what happened, girl?
What's that water taste like? I'll tell you what it don't taste like. It doesn't taste like fluoride. Oh, that was so wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
You have a nice meeting you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Damn. Oh my gosh, man! The shady, even that's small town shadiness is could be the most entertaining thing, man. Like, come on, man! Yeah,
because you can work, you can run a racket real easy. Like, it's a real easy. Yeah. Like, being a con artist in a small town, high successful. That's the whole point. Like, when, here's the thing: if you want to be a scam and you're going to do cons, never ever go big. Like, when you like, that's why the Trumps of the world are fucking assholes, because they're like, don't make it too big. Always,
keep it chill.
Small.
Yeah.
Dude, go from one small town to the next small town to the next small town and get away with it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, because it's like 100,000. Yeah, you would expect some nicer shoulder pads or something, but 100,000 ain't that much. They won't notice this. You know, just keep it to the side. Like,
even if they do, what are they gonna do? Yeah. What are they gonna do? I'm the mayor.
Right. And my wife runs a water board, so we're good.
Oh, Fergie, it's so fucking good to see you. And I'm always like, it's truly like, I can never, every time I see you on TV and every success you get, it always makes me happy.
Oh, but back at you, man. Damn.
Thank you, man.
Like, thinking of all the stories we have together, you know, and coming up together, and then seeing you achieve the success you've deserved for a long time. It goes both ways, brother.
Yeah, look, as long, look, end of the day, I'm just happy we're both gonna be rich. But no, I love you. Thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Love you back, Solomon. Thanks for having me.
That's the always funny Frankie Quinones. Frankie's new show, The Fool, premieres August 12th on Hulu. And be sure to check out his podcast, The Frankie Quinones Show, from Big Money Players and iHeartRadio. As always, if you want to tell your story on The Juice, send them in by visiting teamcoco.com/heyjuice. Please remember to rate and review in Apple Podcasts. Give us all those beautiful stars. The Juice is produced by Nick Liao, Jen Samples, and Lisa Berm. Editing by Sean Doherty. Executive producers are Jeff Ross, Adam Sachs, and Joanna Solitaroff. Music by Eduardo Perez, and mixing by Joe Samuel. Booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, have a juicy day.
This has been a Team Coco production.